Runs kindly for Morrison. It's Cal Morrison! Just listen to this, please! Spencer takes over. It's Brad Spencer! It's in the back of the net! There's Donaldson driving forward. Cole Donaldson! That is simply ridiculous! There's Tom Lang! Oh my word! Unbelievable! Phenomenal! Incredible! Invincible!
This is Falkirk Daft. With Behind the Wall and the Falkirk Football Fans in Training. This is Falkirk Daft. With Behind the Wall, we're Navy Blue, are you?
Stat of the day. We have not beaten Airdrie at the Falkirk Stadium since 2013. Thank you very much to Sean Elderbrandt who gave me that yesterday. Well, that all changed, didn't it? As it was 2-10 at the Falkirk Stadium, so you can put that stat in the bin right now. Hello, I am John McAnally. Welcome to Falkirk Daft, and with me, as ever, the ginger god upon himself, the one-man band in the main stand, the man with a moustache, it's Ross Wayne.
Good morning, buddy. How are you
doing? I didn't really inspect it yesterday, Ross. I can see it, but it just looks like normal.
See, to be fair, see, because of my colouring, I've obviously, I'm never going to have like a big Tom Selleck bad boy.
Now, am I cheating a bit here? So I've just grown out, so I've not shaved, right, since last week, right? So right. I know you're meant to go clean shave, but I thought you've got about a 4 days head start on me, right? So I'm grown out, and then I thought I could shave it down to the moustache. Is that cheating?
You're absolutely fine.
Right, okay. So just imagine.
I feel as if I'm slightly cheating as well because I've left a little bit on my chin, but
right.
There is a separation between the tash and the beard, which is.
I'm going like, I'm none of this fannying about with handlebars, none of this leaving bits, Ross. I'm going full Selleck like. That's the plan.
Are you coming down, are you?
Yeah. No. Just straight on Selleck.
Right. Right.
Okay. Remember Tom Black for Kilmarnock? He used to have a fine moustache.
Yes, I do.
There you go. Hendo had a moustache for a while, mind.
He did, actually, didn't he? He did. I don't know. Remember Nesbitt had one as well?
Nesbitt's was terrible. there must have been some sort of dare going around the dressing room at that point. Mm-hmm. There you go. The last good moustache in football, I think, was Tom Black from Kilmarnock. I might be wrong with that.
Listen, you're forgetting someone. Dragutin Ristich.
Ristich. The absolute porn tash that Ristich had. Listen, you don't see it much now. A good fashion. Now, I'm not talking about facial hair. We see that all the time. I'm talking about proper, just everything gone apart from the good old tash. So,
see, the thing is with Ristich, it was so big and it overhanged. It was like a big brown banana, wasn't it?
It was a thing of beauty. He'll drop his DM, send his message of footballers with great tashes because that's what it's all about. It's Movember, everyone. Apologies, we were meant to do a vlog yesterday, that was going to happen, but due to personal circumstances and things not coming together, we're going to do that next week. And I've got to say thanks very much to Stuart McNeil, who dropped his DM on Facebook and has had a Spielberg-esque storyboard laid out for this vlog. It sounded like a lot of work, I'll be honest with you, Stuart. So we'll do the vlog next week on the way to Livingston, Ross, because we're going to Behind the Wall first, and then we're getting on the bus, aren't we?
We are, yes, looking forward to it as well. Yeah, I think that an away day probably is a bit better for a vlog.
Let's do a proper away day.
Everyone's going
to do all that kind of like Danny Dyer. We're going for a ruck. We can go into maybe see if we could challenge some Livy fans because we've been invited into the Livy bar. My mate Stuart, who's going to be on the podcast later on to preview the Livy game, he has invited us into the Livingston bar for that as well. So yeah, let's do that next week. So the vlog will be on the YouTube channel probably next Monday or Sunday or something, whenever I can get it done. So we'll do that next week on the way to Livy. Right, birthday corner. We've had a few birthdays recently, Ross. And first of all, let me say happy birthday to Derek Carswell. He listens to this podcast all the time, and he says it's his birthday next Saturday on the 16th of November. My wife doesn't listen to the podcast, so I've got to blow my own trumpet. So he's put his own birthday request in. Quite right. So He's off to Almond Vale for his birthday day out. He's going on the Behind the Wall bus, so we'll see him in the pub and we'll have to sing happy birthday when we see him. And he's hoping to have a Falkirk Daft pizza in Behind the Wall. They are still available, by the way, along with the Falkirk Daft Venoms. We'll be sampling them on our vlog next week. But happy birthday, Derek!
Happy birthday, Derek.
Behind the Wall, and we'll see you in the pub next week, and we'll sing happy birthday and really embarrass you in front of everyone. We've got another birthday as well, Ross.
We do, yes. It was his birthday yesterday. Neil Callaghan, who is the founder of the Falkirk District Tartan Army, massive Bairns fan. He was in hospitality.
I saw a picture with him with Leon McCann.
Yeah, yeah. What was it? Yeah, I know. I wonder if he said anything to him after.
Oh, about the, you know, the. Yeah, if you were at Falkirk Daft Live, you know what exactly what we're talking about. Big Leon. You know.
Yeah, big Leon, indeed. Yeah. Yeah, he was there yesterday. He actually messaged me quite ironically yesterday morning saying he was in hospitality today. Could he ask me some questions? What's the bar service like? How quickly? How many drinks can you have? So,
if you've got a question about hospitality, there's only one man to ask.
That's it. That's it. But no, massive shout out to Neil, who is the big 5-0. It's a shame we didn't get a 5-0 for him because they would have played that Hawaii 5-0 again.
That would have been good. It should have been 5-0, but we'll talk about the game in just a bit. Also, shout out to Billy Martin and Emma. They won the 50-50 draw yesterday. I don't think I've ever met someone that's won the 50-50 ball draw, so I'm delighted to Billy's got in touch to let us know that he won it. He won 1,440 pounds. I was trying to do
that's
it.
That's a brilliant amount for 50-50, isn't it?
That's pretty good, eh? So that's all right. Drinks are on Billy next week, by the way. That's tremendous.
Definitely. Did he reach out to you?
Yeah. And he showed me a picture of the 50-50 ticket. He sent a
schoolboy error. He should have pocketed that and just said to his wife.
absolutely. He's had it. I know. So there you go. Well done, Billy. Drinks are on you next week. Shout out to the Wine Library as well. Ross, you're obviously au fait with the Wine Library. You like to quaff a brandy in there from time to time and enjoy a Cabernet Sauvignon or a nice...
I don't mind the Wine Library. I'm a big fan of the Wine Library.
Yes, absolutely.
Very decadent.
What's your favourite wine?
No, listen, I'm not a wine
Red.
Person. No. Yeah, Buckfast. No, I don't go in there for the wine. I am that guy who goes to a wine library and will either have a pint or a rum.
For goodness sake, you don't go into the wine library and have a pint of Tennent's.
They do a range of good beers.
I used to DJ in there actually. Not when it was the wine library, when it was the one before it was one Princess Street it used to be called.
It's been called a few things, remember? It was good when it was Argyle's.
Fucking
Fat Tuesdays and...
It was Finn McCool's. Finn McCool's, wasn't it?
Yeah,
liked it when it was Finn McCool's. Like,
Finn McCool's was before Fat Tuesdays, I think.
Yeah, Finn McCool's and then it was Fat Tuesdays.
Argyle's was good. I think it was Argyle's twice. It might have been Argyle's like back in the day.
I thought it was the original name, aye.
Yeah, and then it was again Argyle's because our mutual pal Stevie Tate was behind the bar in Argyle's. So,
anyway, the Wine Library are doing an Invincible Top auction, so we shared it on our Facebook, on our socials. If you fancy that, get on the socials or jump on the Wine Library's Facebook and you can bid for that now. Talking songs, I've had to break this up, right? So Crawford's got in touch with us because we're talking about writing songs for the Ultras, you know, and we had the Friday I'm in Love last week, which I was disappointed not to hear because I thought it was brilliant. But Crawford's kind of reaching out to the kind of older generation of fans. He's penned several songs, so I thought we could break these up as the weeks go on. If you've got any songs you would like to suggest, we'd love to hear from them. Crawford says, evening guys, kicking back and enjoying the podcast once again. Thank you, Crawford. He did ask, so here are our efforts on songs from a couple of weeks ago. Bit more 70s with 60s and one more recent thrown in. Might be too historical for the young team. AC/DC for producer John, but otherwise none of our other halves were big game changers when pointing out that Navy Blue rhymed with Waterloo. Ha ha! Could not give that a go with Disco Lights already in place. We'll leave these to your consideration. So this is the first batch from Crawford, right? So he went for Waterloo by ABBA, right? So we're going to think Waterloo by ABBA.
Okay.
Right, I'm just trying to get the... I think I'm just going to skip to, like, because I'm trying to think how the... Right. Mama, here we go. I've got it. Mama, doo-doo, we're Falkirk Bairns and we don't just surrender. Oh yeah, daddy, and we will meet our destiny by playing the Falkirk way. Ding, 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 Captain Call, he's a great mark. No, I've messed it up. I'm just going to go to the chorus, right?
Right, okay.
Navy blue, it's the colour bleeding, we wear it too. Navy blue, God, Russell and Crunchy all played for you. Navy blue, John and Paul led the team that are main two. It's not scanned so well, this one. Navy blue, born to hammer the fifers, they know it's true. Whoa, 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 Navy blue, wherever you go, we'll follow you. I like that last line. That's
I like that as well. That is
I think that needs a bit of work, Crawford. We're going to need to work on that because just it doesn't scan as well. So we're going to have to work on that. Right, okay, so that was Waterloo by Abbey.
I like that, though. It's... The first and last ones are pretty good, isn't it? So navy blue is the colour we bleed and we wear it too. I like that. That's strong. And the last one as well, navy blue, wherever you go, we will follow you.
Right,
like,
so this is Crawford's next attempt, right? So we went for Teenage Kicks by Undertones. You funneling out that song?
I am, yes.
Right, I'm trying to get in the Teenage Kicks. Okay. All right, here we go. I've got. Right, okay. Teenage Kicks, here we go. So Dylan Tate's so hard to beat. Got real magic in his feet. Again, we'll need to work on that. When he scores, it's always great. We love the way he'll celebrate. Pass and move, he's got some bite. When Dylan plays, it all goes right. Oh,
No, that's not too bad.
Dylan Tate's so hard to beat. Got real magic in his feet. We need to work on that one. When he scores, it's always great. We love the way he'll celebrate. Then we need, like, I wanna hold you tight. Yeah. We need to work on that one as well. So anyway, Crawford, that's the first two songs. There's more to come next week. Brilliant work, mate. Absolutely.
I'm loving his work there. He's done.
Yeah,
well.
I just think there's a wee bit of work he needs done on those ones. We work, but we can work that out, Ross. And anyway, we'll have two more next week. And if you've got a song you would like to suggest and hear us sing terribly or me sing terribly, because Ross is not getting involved in this. He was too busy at the movie brunch sing along behind the wall yesterday. His voice is gone. Get in touch with us. Drop a slide at our DMs. Please do that, and we won't sing it on the show because that's going to put everybody off. Anyway, let's continue with the show. Thanks to our sponsors, the Falkirk Football Vans and Training, T8s, making friends, making memories through the football. Get involved. Monday at the stadium, 8 to 9. Tuesday, 7:30 to 8:30 at the stadium. Get down. Get involved. Make new friends. Play football. If you've not got a game or you're looking for a game, this is the perfect opportunity. And obviously, we've got Super Vets football. Yeah, that's happening at the stadium on a Friday. That's a combination of the Falkirk Foundation walking football squad who've teamed up with the T8s. It's four people not ready for the kind of step up to T8s yet, but it's a kind of, you know, a wee kind of cross there for you, but you have to be over 50 to play that. It's 8-a-side, but playing to old school 5 rules, which is amazing. And just the opportunity to get off your arse, get down, play some football, make some pals. So the Super Vets football, Friday, 5 to 6 at the stadium. And like I say, T8s, 8 till 9, Monday and Tuesday, 7:30 on to 8:30 on a Tuesday. So get down, get involved for the guys. Ian, Willie, Doogie are the boys. They're top lads. I didn't realise, actually, I saw Ian yesterday. His season ticket's not far away from us. He's just...
I didn't realise that.
Just over in the... Well, I don't know. Maybe he was in a different seat because I was shocked to see them not in hospitality yesterday. So I don't think he uses it much because they're always on hospitality. So it was just a block down from us. So just to the right of the dugout. So yes, but that's by the by. Get in touch. Get involved with Falkirk Football Fans and Training. The link is in the bio. So get involved with the boys. We'll do some news now. Let's do that.
Go on, see, before you do the club news, can we do that shares thing just before we go into the club stuff?
All right, okay, yeah. No
all problem. Right.
Yeah, okay. And Ross, you've got some news on shares.
Yeah, so obviously, as we know, there is no more shares available to buy from the football club, and all of the money that the FSS currently raised goes into the football club through their partnership. However, we have been approached. There is a fan, a big Falkirk fan, who has is looking to sell some shares, and he's looking to use the Falkirk Diff podcast to reach out to as many Falkirk fans as they can. We will be the sort of go-between for anyone that's interested, and if anyone is interested, just drop us a DM and we'll put you in touch with them. In terms of the amount of shares, there is quite a lot of shares there too. They're looking to sell. But it is in £500 blocks. That is what they're looking to do, just for the ease, because obviously the club have to get involved with the back office side of things, and they only do it for a certain amount of money to do that. So freeze. So get in touch with us if you're interested in becoming a part owner of Falkirk Football Club and you're not in FSS.
Good opportunity. And obviously the club are going places now, so that share price will likely increase, hopefully.
That's the hope. That's the hope.
So there you get in touch with us and drop into your DM and hopefully sort that out for you. Let's move on to club news then. Manager and Player of the Month have been won by Ethan Ross and John McGlynn respectively, which follows on from Ethan also being named the club's Player of the Month as well. I don't think you can argue with it, Ross.
No, not for either award. I'd have been shocked if it was anyone other than John McGlynn. So really, really well deserved. That's the second of the season so far as well. Who won the other one?
Scott Brown, I think, won, didn't he?
Air United. Well, that's not his full title, is it? Not Air United, Scott Brown.
Air United, Scott Brown, or Scott Brown's Air United. That kind of goes that way. Brilliant. Yeah, but yeah. I think Scott Brown might have won it.
Right. But Ethan just has been phenomenal. He's on such a rich vein.
We'll get on to the game, but yesterday he was just gliding across that pitch unbelievably.
He was. And do you know, he's like, how good is our team, John? Like, I know.
How good is our team?
Not even just saying how good is our attackers, how good is our midfield, like, how good is our team? Our mutual pal Gaz, who sits beside us yesterday, Gaz made a brilliant point. The second best team in the league is our bench. It's true though, isn't it?
Fair play, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. But no, it's well, you could have given it. Luke Graham, I think, has just been, honestly, Hendo, the two of them, we'll talk about them more later, but just incredible. Nicky's been brilliant. I mean, like you say, the whole team, Brad.
Healing.
Look at Calvin Miller's numbers. I mean, look at Calvin Miller's numbers in terms of assists and goals. Keelan, who we'll talk about now, is extended his deal to June 2027. Obviously, that's a brilliant move from the club, because ching, 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 that boy is going. I hope he won't leave in January. If a club does come in January, I think the club might cash in and hopefully get one of those arrangements where they get us loaned back to the end of the season.
We're not.
I've heard there's all sorts of clubs watching them, apparently.
Oh, listen, I'm sure there will be, and if a deal came in very early, even this early in his career, then, and it's the right deal for everybody, then of course you're going to take it. I'd love to see him win the league with us. I'd love to see him playing in the Premier League with us. It's a tough one, isn't it? Because you don't want to see the whole point of having young players is that you see them for your team and you don't really want them going anywhere. Like, see if a big English Premier League team came in. Could they not sign him, but then we get him on loan for
two years.
I don't want just half a season.
You can sign him, but we're keeping him. That's how that I don't know if the transfers work that way, Ross.
Well, Maybe this will be a new thing. Yeah.
But I mean, obviously, he's just unbelievable. He right. The thing is, in modern day football, as we know, and you hear this so many times, it's like he basically fits a mould. Do you know what I mean? He's tall. He's athletic. He's strong. He's fast. Now, I think when clubs down south, especially, look at those kind of ingredients to a player and go, that's attributes. We can take that. And we can mold him to how we play, what we do, because he's got everything there, and he's a great footballer. But Cobbs will look at what he's doing. He said, well, he's got minutes. You'll get his numbers again, and our goal yesterday, two goals, the assists for the season. They'll look at the numbers. They'll look at his physique and go, yeah, that's a player we can make better. We can enhance in our system. So he kind of fits all that kind of. And you think that, I mean, why wouldn't you, like I said, I think last week, it's just play money, to for these English clubs. And they go, a million? Aye, that's fine. Don't worry about that. Million wad on or whatever.
I totally agree with you. Like £1 million to an English Premier League team. or indeed probably an English Championship team, is not a lot of dough, right?
Yeah.
To a club like Falkirk, it's obviously huge. I'd want more. Like, I don't know if this is just me being really greedy. Like, I want, like, people have been making jokes about it. I want the Keelan Adams East Stand. So that I need like 5 million here for him to make that happen. So, because you're not going to get a stand for like £1 million, are you?
Did somebody put something up the other day there? So like, it was almost, it wasn't like a temporary stand, but it was like a design of a stand that it looked really good, actually. I can't remember. I saw it on Facebook, and it was, or it was maybe on one of the Facebook Falkirk pages, and it looked amazing. Like, I think it was relatively cheap to kind of construct and put up. But it was all good.
Yeah. Well, listen. Yeah, you want something permanent. I know. Like, if and this was obviously a hot topic on your other podcast that you do a couple of Mondays ago, but if we were to be promoted, John, I think a temporary stand would obviously be thrown up, which made sense in the Premier League. But you do eventually want to finish the stadium, and the club do, the board do. Jamie Swinney wants to, everybody wants to get it finished. And Keelan Adams, come on, son, make it happen. We get £5 million move to Nottingham Forest, the best.
And then we get to keep them.
Yeah, go to Forest, the best English team in the country. And
we'll find out this afternoon when they play Newcastle. My English team will wait and see about that.
That's got home win written all over it, John.
Yeah, brilliant to hear Keelan extending. I think the next one is to tick off the list is Ethan Ross.
Yes.
And I hope that is happening in the background as you're speaking. Hopefully next week we're coming in here. So Ethan Ross is extended as well. It'd be amazing. But yeah, brilliant. Nice. Absolutely fantastic. Got to mention, of course, Falkirk Women. We are the armband sponsors of the Falkirk Women. And we obviously hand over a bunch of money this week from Falkirk Daft Live. £500, thanks to you guys. Got that over to them. They beat Drumchapel 5-1 in the cup last week. So straight in the next round. Two OGs, Ella Stewart, Liv Murphy and Charlotte McConaughey, all on the score sheet for the women, and player of the match was Gemma Mason. She seems to be having a really good season, Gemma. And they're facing Renfrew Ladies in the league today. So good luck to the girls. And I think they've got Renfrew. I think they've also got Renfrew Ladies in the cup. They drew Renfrew Ladies in the cup as well. So they've got them in the league, and then they've got them in the cup as well.
They did, yes. Interesting chat had with Stephen and Josh during the week. So obviously, I was getting their bank details, obviously, so we could try to transfer that over.
Yeah.
However, you remember on the 100th episode, John, we were talking about trying to pick a fixture and make a big day, try and get as big a crowd in, like a Falkirk Daft, Falkirk Women day. The guys are well up for that. So we just, so they've sent over some fixture dates, including that, obviously, that cup tie. And so you and I just need to have a look, and we'll advertise it. We'll try and make it as big.
We should in fact all be going to all these fixtures anyway. To be fair,
it's just, I know.
To life get, you know what it's like when you know you got football on a Saturday and then the Sunday comes around and you've got families and all that sort of stuff. But I do think if we had one like set day where we focus on that and try and get a bigger crowd down as possible.
And you don't know what the follow on to that could be. Even if they got say we managed to get a few hundred along to the game or more, and then their next home game their crowd goes up by 50 people. That's an extra 50 people that weren't going before, and they're paying a small amount to get in. So I think it's about £4 for an adult, and I think the foundation kids get in for free. So it would be brilliant to get a massive crowd in there.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll get that fixture, but well done to the girls, and we'll keep you up to date with how they're getting on next week's show as well. Before we move on to look at the match, thank you very much to Behind the Wall, as ever. Stay local, eat and drink global. Falkirk Daft Venom still available. Let us know if you've tried it. Review it for us. We'll be getting on it next week when we're in there. Ross, you've not tried one yet, have you?
Well, no, because when we finished the live event, you went up to the bar to go and get us a couple, and they were sold out, so I've not had a chance yet. So I am looking forward to a wee pre-match Venom. There we go.
Oh, absolutely. So they will be in there next Saturday ahead of the match in the game against Livy, going on the bus there. And of course, you can get on the bus, speak to Scotty or give Behind the Wall a call, get your names down. I think there might still be some spaces for the Livy game. I'm not too sure.
I think there is. I don't know how many, but I think there is.
I think there's maybe a handful of spaces.
Yeah, we've got 10 seats booked, so it's quite a big group.
It's a big crowd. Yeah. So that's £10, and that'll get you a drink when you get back to the bar as well. So it's a great, great offer. Yeah. So £10 gets you to the game. You get back, you get a pint. Fantastic.
No brainer.
Absolutely brilliant. And obviously for home games, it's £5. It's the same deal. So basically it's a pint and free transport to the game. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So get involved. You can get gift vouchers for Christmas as well, behind the wall. If I've said the C word. If you are thinking, like, for Christmas presents, you are struggling, vouchers are behind the walls, a great shout. The food in there is brilliant. And you can try the Falkirk Daft Pizza. Remember, that is off menu, a bit like the Land, Air and Sea Big Mac that you can get. That's like at McDonald's, that's a kind of off menu item. So Falkirk Daft Pizza, have a whisper in the waitress's ear and say, go and get us that Falkirk Daft Pizza, hen. And just whisper it. And you can get that behind the wall. But yeah, you can get gift vouchers for Christmas and lots of entertainment coming up. Ross was obviously along singing movie songs yesterday in there. But the Pearlfishers are playing there on the 15th of November. Great band. Fleetwood Mac tribute on the 29th of November. The Chain are in behind the wall. Oh, I love Fleetwood Mac. Brilliant. You a Fleetwood Mac fan?
No, not really. I know them. Obviously, I know of them, but I'm not a fan.
Honestly, God, see you. It's Oasis or nothing with you.
Well, right. Oasis.
Well, that's it. And maybe a bit of Ocean Car Scene. Raymond Mearns and Stuart Mitchell are doing the Glasgow Da live in behind the wall. Now, Raymond Mearns is one of the fun. If you've never seen Raymond Mearns, this is obviously a kind of character show, but Raymond Mearns is one of the funniest comedians in Scotland. I have no idea why he's not doing these live at the polls. I probably do because he's absolute just filth and just brilliant.
He's very, very funny, and people will have seen his videos. Even
he's
like
so good. He's honestly, I love Raymond Mearns. I've been to see him so many times. He's just so good. Such an intelligent man as well. I think he's on the board at Motherwell. He's involved he's certainly involved with the Motherwell supporters, big Motherwell fan. Top fella, top comedian. He's in there 30th of November with Stuart Mitchell doing Glasgow Dad Live. So get down to behind the wall. Loads going on there. Right, let's get into talking about Airdrie, shall we, as we beat them 2-0 at the stadium yesterday. And let's do it in the company of our guest pundit this week. It's Sinead Ali.
Hey, hello, how are you?
Good, yeah. good. Now, that doesn't sound like a Falkirk accent to me, Sinead.
No, you're right about that. So quick kind of backstory. So I'm from Middlesbrough originally, so I am a Middlesbrough fan, and those that kind of sit around me in the main stand, they'll all kind of know my story. But, you know, I guess it kind of starts off, you know, I'm from Middlesbrough, born and bred, and I'm a big believer in the fact that you support your local club. You know, I have friends from Middlesbrough that, you know, would go over to Manchester and go up to Newcastle and Leeds. And that was never me. And, you know, I moved to the area nearly 3 years ago now. Like I said, I think that it's so important, especially in Scotland, where there's not quite as much money, that you're not going to support, you know, Rangers and Celtic and things like that.
Yeah.
Just kind of on that though, my previous job, it was actually in Paris. So for the last few years, I have actually been going to watch PSG.
Wow! Wow!
So yeah,
from Neymar to Gary Oliver in one fell swoop.
Well, you know, I mean, you say that. So last year was obviously my first year. And actually, you know, sometimes it did feel like I was again watching Messi, Mbappe and Neymar when it was, you know, McKenna, Morrison and Miller. But yeah, you know, that's a background. And I think it is so important to keep the community together and go along and watch your local team, because I see so many people with the Celtic and Rangers, you know, tops on walking around the town. You know, what's the point?
Amazing. Absolutely incredible. I've got a little soft spot for Middlesbrough myself. My pal Gary Phillipson does a lot of the match day stuff there. I used to work with Gary down when I worked in the northeast, and he's a massive Borough fan. In fact, he was on the books at one point as a goalkeeper way back in the day. He's a top lad, so great to have a Borough fan up the Borough. Like that, crossing hands across the divide. So I'm not, we at this season been asking who's the worst person to pull on a the navy blue, but you don't, if you've only been watching two seasons, there's not many to choose from. I'm going to be honest with you, Junaid.
No, you're right. I've never been a massive fan of Ryan Shanley, to be quite honest with you. I just don't think he fits the system that well. I was a little surprised that he did kind of get a contract in the in the summer. But yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. There's not been many that have kind of, everyone's done really, really well.
Absolutely.
See on Ryan. He's a natural finisher though, and I think that's why John McGlynn likes him so much, because he's got that sort of like, see, when he has had his moments and his chances, you just think there is a finisher there. It's just getting that run around the team.
He's got that kind of Kevin O'Hara kind of vibe about him. He just needs to get that goal, and you think more will maybe come. But he's got a cracking song.
Yeah, he does.
So, brilliant. Well, great to have you on, Junaid. We're going to talk about the match yesterday, and let's get into it. Unchanged from Morton, 6,000 Bairns in attendance. Well, just under 6,000 Bairns in attendance with 328 from Airdrie. Ross, no surprise, John McGlynn always sticks with a winning side, doesn't he?
He did, and I think he was right to do it after last week's thrashing of Morton, to be honest. So I wasn't shocked that it was the same starting lineup. Wasn't shocked that it was the same bench. I know we joked about it earlier on, but the bench is just getting stronger and stronger every week as the players are coming back. And this is absolutely no disrespect to the two young lads who are deservedly in the matchday squad. But when you do have Cole, when you do have Tom, and you do have Saki back, what a strong, strong bench that is then looking.
Yeah, I guess the only question, Junaid, was whether Ross McKeever might get a run in. But again, like we've seen before, just John doesn't seem to do that. Change a winning side.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, I kind of thought actually he might come back into the team for the Morton game last week. But after the fact that Oliver started last week, I wasn't surprised at all that he started yesterday against Airdrie.
I bet you the two people that enjoy the fact that Ross isn't playing is Calvin Miller and Ethan Ross, because with Gary playing that kind of false nine, they're having to, you know, he's dropping in and feeding the ball into them. And we saw again yesterday, Calvin Miller and Ethan Ross should have scored a few times as well, but they seem to have benefited from goals as a result of Ross not playing, because we do play Ross in a slightly different way without Ross McKeever being the focal point.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think actually it shows, you know, such a strong character in the manager that, you know, that he was able to, you know, stick with Gary Oliver and, you know, like you say, you know, it's two great performances out of Gary Oliver. And, you know, it'll be doing his confidence the world of good. And yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm sure that the wingers will be loving it.
Have we heard anything, Ross, on Sean, Tom and Cole? I mean, I know Cole was, I think, the end of the month. Maybe Tom, we just don't know. Sean, again, looked like it wasn't going to be long. Have you heard anything, any grumblings?
No, the only thing I did hear was that Cole was back in training. That's not came from the man himself. That came from someone who was down at the stadium. So that's good news. If Cole is back, I noticed Saki was in his training kit. I think there was one of these vloggers was in before. The wee guy for Glasgow that's doing.
Oh, I saw a picture of him and Derek Steele.
Oh, was that right? Okay.
Yeah, Steele got a selfie with him. I was like, oh, geez.
But he was interviewing some of the players before the Morton game, and I noticed Saki was in his training gear, so that'll be good. That'll be good to see him back very, very soon as well.
One of our friends called the club the other day there to talk about something, and Saki picked up the phone. So I don't know if he's working in the admin team while he's injured, but Stuart Mackey was on the end of the line dealing with inquiries, apparently.
Surely he was just sitting beside the phone and he just answered it. That has to be the reason, surely.
I know, I do like the idea of like injured players, like, you're right, okay, you're injured, you're still going to get, we're still working you though. Like, yeah. Get yourself into the admin, get some phones answered, get into the club shop and start selling some tops.
You can just imagine him in the shop. How much is this t-shirt?
Tremendous, tremendous. Airdrie come to the Falkirk Stadium, and as I said, the start of the game was frightening when Sean and Josh told me the fact that we haven't beaten Airdrie at the Falkirk Stadium since 2013. That is an incredible start.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It's such a lot. Like, I know we've not played, we weren't always in the same league as them, but that is a horrible, horrible stat, because we did have at least, what, two seasons in League One with them, yeah, if not more. And yeah, that's just horrible. But we've got rid of that now, haven't we?
Thank goodness. Honestly, thank goodness. It was like Airdrie supporters, and we obviously spoke to Colin at the OTL podcast last week, just crowing over that stat. But in fairness, you know, that game yesterday felt a bit like the one when we played them over at their place. So many chances, and you just felt it was coming. And I went into that I don't know, it's your overconfidence rubbing off on me, Ross. I think I just went into that game yesterday thinking, I don't see a threat here. I don't know how you feel, Junaid, about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'd said, as everyone else had, that, you know, a real hammering of someone was coming. And I'd actually put that on this game rather than last week. And I thought, after last week, well, it could be two in a row, two real big, you know, hammerings. And yeah, you're right. You know, I did go to the game at Airdrie, and yeah, there was chance after chance after chance. And it obviously took a worldie to unlock it. And again, yeah, yesterday, you know, it was just... yeah, chances galore.
We had to wait, I mean, half an hour for the goal, Ross, but there was plenty of chances came before Keelan Adams eventually got the goal. You know, he took Brad Spencer had the one beaten away by the goalkeeper, Keane Wright. That's not the last time we'll mention his name. But the goalkeeper was in tremendous form, even up to that first goal. He had a couple of cracking saves.
The one from Brad Spencer was the one that springs to mind for me. And Brad hit it with his left foot as well. You know that curling left foot effort, and the keeper obviously tips it over the bar. What a shot, what a save though. And he did. He kept the scoreline down yesterday. I know, I thought Rhys McCabe was a wee bit deluded in his post-match interview.
I've not seen it.
He was basically saying how they were in it for large parts of the game. And I don't disagree. There was moments at 1-0.
Large parts of the game.
Not large parts of the game, no. And I just felt, listen, had we won 6-0 again yesterday, could they have complained? I don't think so.
I think that's, I mean, they had a little, you know, a little flurry. I think when the boy Wilson came off the bench, they had a bit of flurry. And in fairness, they tried to restrict it as much as they could. But we, like you say, we could have easily have won that game 5 or 6. Now, when you look at the actual, you know, 62% of possession, 22 shots to their 9 shots on target to their 2, 11 shots off target to their 4. Like, goalkeeper saves 7 to our 2. And there was 2 that Nicky just fell into Nicky's gloves, really. But yeah, that's nonsense. I mean, keeper kept him in it up until the 33rd minute. Ethan Ross, long corner this time. I noticed this yesterday. Josh and from Falkirk TV, me, have a running joke about short corners. There wasn't any short corners yesterday. Did you notice that? I don't know if that must have been a tactical thing, because they were all going into the box yesterday, and that's where the goal obviously came from. Big Luke Graham, talk about him in a minute, but knocks it down, and Keelan Adams is just, ball falls at his feet, and second goal in 2 games for him. Junaid, how impressed, we were talking about Keelan Adams, his extended deal at the start of the podcast, how impressed have you been with him?
Yeah, he's been fantastic, and I think it's everyone's dream that, you know, if you can't go through academies and make it into a first team, you know, you want to be playing football and work your way up. And he's been unbelievable, and I remember the game at Celtic. I just couldn't believe how well he actually played on that day. And that's been, you know, ever since he's kind of come into the lineup. And you do kind of think, you know, oh, well, you know, coming from much lower leagues, how is he going to adapt to full-time football and first-team football? But he's not looked out of place once. I'm sure you'd agree with that.
Yeah,
it's just phenomenal.
Absolutely incredible. And that's him, you know, quite rightly, we'll talk about his assist in just a bit, but that's two goals, two matches, his assist count just rising as well, and he's going to make us a lot of money, as we said earlier on. Right after it, though, Gary Goals, like, I don't know how he's missed that chance. Great ball in from Calvin Miller, and Gary's turned it wide. I just thought that bit of confidence with getting that goal last weekend might have just given that touch, Ross, but I don't know how he's managed to miss that chance.
I know. It was, I know. You did think the confidence was there, but the confidence was streaming through the team, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it just did feel like as if it was going to be a matter of time.
If that one went in, it would have been a Morton. I think if we'd scored that chance, but unfortunately Gary just turned it wide, and you know that's the one thing with Gary. He's so good at just dropping into the hole and just making things happen and connecting the link in the play so well. But he just misses that killer touch at the moment, and you just hoped that was going to come and bite us on the arse, Junaid.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's so great to watch Falkirk when they start to kind of tighten the screws and, you know, increase the pressure, because you can just see it's wave after wave. And yeah, with that chance, it was harder to miss it than score it, to be honest. And yeah, I think I echo what you said. You know, I think, yeah, it could have been a real drubbing if that had gone in.
But, see, just on that point, Junaid, how good is it when, like you were talking about earlier on, there's not just like a position in the team that you think, oh, we're really strong, it's just throughout the team. But like, we have so many, like, do you remember, like the whole, you're on the edge of your seat, the tip of the seat moments.
Yeah.
There must be at least 10 of them every game, which is just brilliant.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it's brilliant to watch. And obviously, you know, I don't have kind of 20 odd years watching the club, but it's fantastic to watch it as just the football that's being played. It's unbelievable at times. And yeah, everyone, you can see how everyone pulls together. They all believe in what they're doing. They all believe in what the manager's telling them. It's fantastic to watch.
I have to say, right after that chance, there was a shout. It was my favourite moment of the match yesterday. Someone got knocked over in the box. I don't know who it was, but Ross Wayne went, penalty! Like, he did not believe it at all that it was a penalty, but it took him about 5 minutes to spit out penalty, by which time everyone was up on their feet. I was laughing my ass off. Penalty!
In my defence, right? I thought it was a pen.
You didn't. You absolutely did. No one in the stadium thought it was a penalty apart from
you. If you don't shout, you don't get.
No, right? But it was the way you were shouting it, but just backtracked it in your mind when you were just... I could hear the calls kind of whirring. It was like, I wouldn't shout penalty, but that's not a penalty. But I wouldn't shout it anyway. It was just this kind of computing of your mind. Penalty! It's amazing. That made me laugh. That made me absolutely laugh yesterday. But just after that, we came close again. Aidan Nesbitt, again, Kieran Wright, like from a few yards out, it's been one of those ones where he's been lucky with his feet, and Aidan's been unlucky with just where he's put it. But that should have been 2-0 again, Junaid.
Yeah, great chance, and yeah, possibly could have done, you know, a bit better. And you know, in fairness to Airdrie, you know, they had, you know, one or two kind of chances. I think one or two kind of went straight across the box, and you're obviously just hoping at 1-0 that it doesn't come back to bite us. But I never particularly felt that worried personally. I always felt like, you know, okay, you know, they might be having a bit of possession and the odd chance, but Nicky was never really he was never really tested other than a couple of long shots that you'd kind of expect him to deal with. So you always did feel that, you know, they should be okay. But I think, you know, going in at half time only one up, you felt like if it had been three at that point, there wouldn't have been many complaints there.
Yeah, and half time came, and we came out second half, just the way we started the half. Ethan Ross, let's talk about Ethan Ross. A good few chances just after the second half, Ross, but he is going to, I'm telling you right now, he is going to score an absolute wonder goal at some point this season. He is unplayable at points. Just the way he slides past people. Nick, just a good old-fashioned proper winger that just likes to take on boys and run at players. And just it's a player you love to see. And I think he's great. Like there was a couple of times yesterday where he just was running at players, and like these players are just backing off him. You know, and there was points where he would just drop the shoulder, wee bit of skill into the box. Does an absolute. Go. I mean, he was very close, obviously, with that shot in about the 54th minute, where he just kind of cut in and hit it. But he's just been so good, hasn't he?
He has. He's been. There's an argument for him. Like I know there's so many players that we could say, "Oh, player of the season so far," but Ethan has put himself into that category as well because he's been so consistent. Going back to the whole edge on the seat thing, that is the type of player that gets you on the edge of your seat because you don't know what he's going to do. And I don't mean from a Captain Chaos perspective. You trust him to, and that's not that I don't trust Alfie, but in terms of 9 times out of 10, you know Ethan's going to get past his man and he's going to get a pass off, he's going to get a shot off. That consistency's there. And you're right, he is. One of these days he's going to finish a shot and it's going to be like an absolute rasp. But I've got like a Dylan Tate Airdrie type goal in my head.
I think he's going to run the length of the park at some point, take on about five or six men and tap it in. I'd like, because he's so full of confidence, Sinead. You can just feel that coming out of him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, when, you know, last year, kind of watching Callum Morrison, you know, and you're thinking when he kind of goes off and gets injured, you know, how are we going to replace him? And obviously, you know, we'd seen Ethan last year and he'd done really, really well. But, you know, I wasn't sure how he would do, kind of having to start the game and having that extra responsibility. But now he's undroppable, you know, and you see that clearly with John McGlynn. You know, he's not, even though Callum Morrison is back and is available, he's not going to drop him, and I wouldn't. He's just, you know, what a wonderful talent. And you know, like we say, you know, there's so many of them all over that park, but he does look really, really special.
Yeah. I think when we're speaking to Call, he was just saying, like, a lot of, when he came down, he dropped into League One last season. People were like, how have we managed to get him? How is he coming here? And I tell you what, Raith Rovers, the fact that when you look at the players that Raith Rovers had and just let go of, when you look at Brad Spencer and Ethan Ross, and you go, Jesus, why would you let those two players go?
Just to clarify, are you talking about Premiership bound, Premiership ready Raith Rovers? Is that who we're talking
Oh,
about?
Sorry, Premiership ready Raith Rovers. Sorry, yeah, I forgot their full title. But yeah, it's like it's unbelievable. Anyway, the goal came eventually after another good few saves from Kieran Wright again. He denied Gary Oliver at that tight angle as well. He just, you know, tipping over Calvin Miller's shots. But the goal finally came, and what a tremendous work. Aidan Nesbitt, we don't talk about Aidan enough. His work, we do mention his work rate, but his weight of pass is always just brilliant, and he just works and hassles. But that weight of pass down the right for Keelan Adams to run onto and get the cross into the box was delightful, and it was just one of those ones. It happened right at the start of the half when Dylan Tate did that really sexy, just first time pass right across the box, which should have been a goal again. But we got there then. We worked that down to the byline, cross across, and it was just Calvin Miller coming off the wing and just bundling it across the line, which was great to see. And his numbers have been incredible, Junaid.
Yeah, again, you know, an absolutely, you know, other unbelievable player. Yeah, what a special, special guy he is.
Yeah. And like you say, undroppable Ross at the moment. Like when we see Callum, and Callum came off the bench yesterday and he looked back on it. He looked absolutely back on it, Callum, when he came off the bench. He should have scored, but...
He did, yeah. Can I go back to the goal a second? That was a typical Keelan Adams run and cross. Like, that is his trademark now, to hit the byline, get a crossover. Let's not forget, he should have probably had another assist when that perfectly good goal that was chopped off against Livy as well, wasn't it? So that was another situation where he probably should have got an assist that day. But what a sight it is. Like, the defenders must shit themselves when they see Callum and Alfie ready to come on, Big Ross coming on, and you think, oh God, this has been a long game so far. The boy, like Ethan Ross has gone off, Calvin's gone off, and were then bringing boys on of this quality,
I
and they were
know.
a nuisance when they came on yesterday. They
Of
really
course,
were.
it, like
Callum,
you,
so unlucky.
Cal was so unlucky when he scampered through and just hit that shot. Nice bit of skill and just got that shot, and it just went over. And then on the 90th minute, that beautiful back heel onto Michael McKenna, and
Oh,
like
it was nice.
it, Michael obviously pulled his shot. Another player that just feels, if the goal comes for him, he'll. And I said to the guy sitting, I think this is Michael McKenna. When he came off the bench, I think Michael's going to get a goal today. And like he just pulled it slightly at the end. It would have been a brilliant goal if that had went in. And you just.
I felt sorry for him, John, because he looked gutted after he
Oh,
missed
I saw him
his
after.
goal.
He was sitting, like, just looking at the kind of ground afterwards, just kind of like all the Airdrie fans were just, all the Airdrie players were just sitting down. Michael was amongst them as well. Just, I think, just rerunning that chance in his head, you know. It was
He
a...
almost hit it too well because he obviously used the inside of his boot, and we were right behind it, so we
Yeah.
saw it curling away for the goals. If he'd probably just like put his laces through it, it might have sneaked in at the post, the far post where he was going. But listen, shoulda, woulda, coulda. I'm sure he will get. We were talking about this on our walk back to the car after the game. I think he will pop up with two or three big goals this year. I'm not saying he's going to score a lot of goals, but I think he will score two or three important goals.
Yeah. So 2-0, it finished. I mean, Reece McCabe's coming out saying, what did he say? They went. He wasn't saying they should have got something from the game, was he?
No, he says they were in it at vital points. He obviously he didn't spend too long talking about how like the Falkirk chances, to be honest, which I was a bit disappointed because I didn't think they handled us. Like he said, he thought they handled us quite well yesterday, which I disagree with. But he felt that they were in it at key moments, and it was silly defending that's cost them the getting something out of the game, basically.
Janae, do you know anything? Why did Calvin Miller dance about like a chicken when he scored the goal? Because a couple of weeks ago, he was doing like a mixing bowl. I thought he was just a fan of the Great British Bake Off. I can't work out the chicken one. Is that some sort of Fortnite dance? Is that some sort of chicken, an ode back to chicken? Remember Chicken Tonight? I feel like chicken tonight. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, no, not sure on that one. But you know, listen, he gets enough goals to allow him, you know, whatever celebration he wants. But yeah, not sure on the story
That's
behind
four
it.
goals in four games, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that stat in itself just tells you know, how good he really is and how crucial he is to this system. And you know, there's not a lot of players that do go and get 4 and 4. So yeah, you know, a fantastic player.
Absolutely, absolutely. But the celebrations, we're going to need to find out about these celebrations and what they mean, because is someone just having a dare saying go and dance like a chicken now if you score next time, Cal? I don't know. I don't know. But I like it. I like it. I'm here for it. Before we wrap up in the match here from John McGinn, I've got to put again a special mention. I love centre halves, Ross. You know my love of centre halves. All my favourite Falkirk players, generally centre halves. Luke Graham and Liam Henderson. Liam Henderson, 100 appearances for the club yesterday, by the way. Absolutely sensational. But the two of them at the back are, you know, I love Big Call as well. You know that. But just that boy, Luke Graham, is different class. He is out. And Hendo, nothing gets past Hendo. Nothing gets past the two of them. They are unbelievable as a unit. I can't talk highly enough of how
They
good the two of them are at centre half.
do seem to be striking up a brilliant partnership as well, and they're not afraid to give each other a bit of a bollocking as well, which is nice. Like even Luke, like there was a moment in the first half, I think it was, Luke had sort of done one of his runs at the midfield, and he lost the ball, didn't he? And then Liam, we won it back, but Liam gave him an absolute bollocking. But then in the second half, Liam, I think, did one of his famous pirouettes, and then Luke kind of got him for not getting up the wing. So they do seem to be striking up a brilliant partnership. 100 appearances for Liam's just phenomenal, and he fully deserves every accolade that he gets, and look forward to another 100 more.
Junaid, I'm going to ask you this because you've watched the progression of Liam Henderson more intently because you've been with us for 2 seasons now. Is he a better centre back or a better centre midfielder?
I think last year it really worked in the midfield because I think that you needed that physical presence and someone to just, you know, get it up the park and get it moving. But I think this year, because you can see that there is a step up in quality, I would prefer him at centre back, and that partnership is unbelievable. You know, they're just like two big rocks there, and you know, not much will get past them for the rest of the season, providing that they both stay fit.
I mean, big Luke. I mean, that boy. How good must Dundee be defensively to let this boy go out alone? Because he's phenomenal. He's absolutely amazing. I wish he was our player, because again, we'd be putting him in the same hat as Keelan Adams. Because at 20 years old, and that's what I saw a stat yesterday. It was doing the rounds online about, you know, how 18% of only, I think it was Motherwell, the amount of young Scots playing at under 21 in minutes they'd had. I think a lot of Scott players in the Premiership had 0%. Motherwell had 18%, but I think that's due to Wilson and Miller obviously taking that, and Kilmarnock, I think, had 7%, but that'll probably be due to David Watson getting his game. But I was looking at it going, hold on, yesterday our Falkirk didn't play anyone over 30 yesterday. The oldest player we had in the park yesterday was, well, before Michael McKenna came on, was Gary Oliver. So the age range of our squad yesterday was 20 to 29 young Scottish players. It's great to see. Brilliant. It really is. It's Brilliant. Phenomenal to see. But that whole age group, 20 to 29, you know, and the fact there was 11 Scots out there on the park was great to see, you know, and look how well we're doing as a result of it.
It's that consistency piece again, John, because it's the same. Like, this must be how many games now we've had the same start lineup? 5 or 6 maybe on the bounce, maybe.
Yeah. So it's only been forced through injury as well that we've had to change the lineup.
Very true. Yeah,
There's not been one change he's made that's been out. He's not, apart from an injury, he's not changed the squad. Michael McKenna came in, obviously we tried that at Raith Rovers and it didn't work when Michael McKenna came in for Ross McKeever and he got dropped out. But aside from that, we've not made any changes that haven't been forced upon us.
Yeah.
I think something else for me is that, you know, obviously the vast majority of them, they went through last year together, that invincible season. And you want that. You want that continuity because, you know, when a time does come that things get tough, you know that they'll always be there for each other and kind of keep spirits high and keep it going. So, yeah, hopefully. I mean, I'm not sure who's kind of out of contract in the summer, but you would hope that, you know, those that are, you do kind of manage to keep the majority of that squad together, you know, whatever league they do end up in next year.
Yeah, right. Let's hear what John McGlynn had to say after the match, shall we?
John, only a 2-0 scoreline this week, but I feel the way the game went, it could have been a lot more.
I think their goalkeeper had a great game. You know, Kieran Wright in their goals has kept the score down, you're right. But another really, really good performance, a big crowd here, great thank you to everyone who's came along today, 6,000 fans in here today, amazing. I hope they go away enjoying what they watched. I think it could have been some more goals in both halves. I think even in the first half there's plenty of opportunities here. As I say, Kieran Wright has kept the score down, but really, really pleased, another 3 points, a clean sheet at the end of the 90 minutes. Didn't it look like we picked up any injuries, so yeah, delighted for everyone. Well done to the players. You know, they're the ones who cross over the line. They've worked so hard in that game to win that game. The Airdrie made it really difficult. Of course, as I say, if we had scored one or two more goals, it may have broke their resilience, you know, but because it was only like 1-0 for such a long time and then only 2-0, you know, for that period of time, Airdrie were never ever out it. You know, one game and they get back into it. So the game was never over and done with. We were fairly comfortable, but a couple of set plays towards the end caused us one or two issues. They've hit the bar and it could turn. So, you know, we've got to keep our feet on the ground. You know, we can't be getting carried away. Everyone has really got to just stay very focused, disciplined, humble, keep working hard. And, you know, we're in a position. We're really, really pleased to be in that position. We've worked hard to be in that position. We don't want to give it up now that we're there. But we know that we've got some really, really difficult games coming up. No more so than next week going to Livingston, but it's also one that we're looking forward to and relishing.
Another goal from Calvin Miller today. I think that's 4 and 4 for him. He seems to be loving life at the moment.
I think the two wingers were great. I thought Ethan Ross was very, very unfortunate not to score today as well. Calvin, yes, absolutely. Yeah, great. Yeah. We're so, well, you know, it's in the recruitment. I'm going to say we're so lucky, but it's in the recruitment. We've brought these guys in here to do that type of job that they're doing. So it's not luck. We've got four really, really good wingers who can, you know, take on basically any defence. And delighted for Calvin if it's 4-4. It's 2-2 for Keelan Adams last week, and then this week the first goal. Delighted for him. He's involved in the assist for Calvin Miller's goal. So he's scored one, assisted on one, and he's flying. I think he was very worthy of his Man of the Match award.
So there we go, happy John McGuinn. I see happy John McGuinn. You never know. He's like, honestly, the most poker-faced manager ever. You can never tell if he's happy or not. But he's a top, top manager. And by the way, can I just point out, he's ditched the Puma Kings. I wonder if it's due to his hip-hop. But obviously, in solidarity, Smudger, Paul Smith, has ditched his Puma Kings as well. So they're now just wearing very similar trainers instead. So it's honestly like the Blues Brothers, the two of them. But I'm disappointed.
If they sort out the cap situation, then
stop! Honest to God, I thought you were going to shout down to him yesterday. Say, the Gokwana Falker, maybe blue and black don't go, John.
I'm going to buy him a black or charcoal cap, and I'm going to give it down to Trust Me Girl. That's what I'm going to do.
There you go. John has a wee notepad, and it's the smallest notepad in the world. I notice he's writing wee notes. I'd love to read the notepad and see what he's writing down in his notepad.
I saw there was, do you remember just before the first half finished, I think it was Dylan Tate had that effort that like ballooned right over the bar, and you just saw him go straight to the notepad there, and you wonder if he's wrote, fuck's sake, Dylan.
Dylan Tate, you're a fanny. I'd love to read it. I'd love to read his wee notepad, but it's a tiny little notepad. He seems happy. He seems a happy man at the moment, John. Why wouldn't you be? Because we are doing so well. Let's get your views now. Ada's dad kicks us off saying, massive FC at it again. Did see McKeever with the biggest smile when the Ultras sung his song as he was warming up. Love this team. Can we add a no-quit policy to the players and managers contract?
That would be good. Martin says, remembrance events subdued the crowd and players, I thought. Took a while to get up to full flow. Graham and Hendo strolled it again, and we could have had more in the second half, but even our 75% was enough today. Bring on Livy next week.
Yeah, maybe there is a bit in that, actually, that we didn't start off as fast as we normally do. Maybe the remembrance ceremony kind of got them out of their rhythm a wee bit. I don't know.
I don't disagree. I think I may have commented after about 15 minutes that I felt we were a little bit slower at the traps today. The players obviously have to hang about for quite a while before...
I don't know if you saw, because one thing I actually noticed was Nicky Hogarth, you know, when they were kind of standing around the centre circle, he was sort of, you know, doing some stretches and, you know, trying to kind of keep himself warm, actually. So possibly there is something in that, actually.
Do we think the players need to be out? This is an open question. Do we think the players need to be out on the park so long? Like, do you think they could come out just before the 2 minute silence?
I agree, I think so, I don't think there's any need for them to be out for...
do the service, because I think it's brilliant, but do the players need to be standing around as long?
I'll be honest with you, I don't think the service needs to be as long as that. It's lovely. It's a lovely occasion, but I doubt. Maybe it's controversial to say. I don't think we need a longer a service as that. I think we obviously pay our respects, but that's maybe just me. I think we obviously pay our respects for silence, but I do think there's a wee bit too much. And
it certainly started a lot earlier than it has done previously.
Didn't it? Because I was trying to get into the stadium for it, and then I got held, I thought I'll be in plenty, I was in with plenty of time, but I obviously got held up getting into the stadium because everyone in the pies and stuff, and I was like, oh shit, I missed getting out into my seat.
Yeah. I
must have just missed it then, because I'll get in for it quickly, but I missed it, but anyway. Yeah. Next, Lewis says, unstoppable, what a time to be a Bear. I honestly can't think of a better Falkirk team in nearly 50 years of following them. You are my Falkirk, well said.
Like it. Callum says, they've, as in Airdrie, got worse from the last time we played them. Their keeper was the best player for them, keeping them in it. If it wasn't for him, it was going to be a hammering. But on to the biggest game of the season next Saturday. Let's fucking go.
It is huge next Saturday. We're going to speak to Stuart Barry, a Livy supporter who we spoke to recently, actually. So I'll be good chat with him, find out what's going on. Craig says, keeper kept them in it. They had one chance all game. We were a bit wasteful in front of goal, but we're so far ahead of them. It was embarrassing. Actually, we didn't mention the one chance, the big chance they had when it came off the bar. That was a big chance for them. I thought the boy Wilson made a bit of a difference when he came on the park, and he looked all right for them. I was actually really impressed by the boy Armstrong in midfield as well. I thought he looked okay. He looked okay.
Yeah, the boy with the long hair.
Yeah.
I thought he played well actually. For the most. Ian says, Clyde Banks keeper had a blinder.
That old banter, love it. Keep that going.
Yep, Clyde Banks keeper had a blinder, or it would have been another 6-0. They are our bogey team, and we beat them at home at last. So all good.
Absolutely. Dougie, Airdrie keeper was man of the match. Could have been 5 at half time if not for him. Save at the end of the half when he spread himself to save the shot from 6 yards was exceptional, and that is coming from Dougie McCallum, keeper extraordinaire for the T8s. So Dougie knows a good goalkeeper when he sees one.
He does. Well, he called me a good goalkeeper after our
he certainly did not call you a goalkeeper. No chance of that.
I blame my fullbacks for their poor decision.
Right, okay, let's move on.
Rod's, as in, I'm assuming this is our pal Craig Rod, and he says, poorest Airdrie team I have ever seen. We were not at our best, but could have scored with every attack. Ethan Ross was superb and deserved a goal or three. Hendo and Adams, superb, as always.
Yeah, and David finishes off saying, need to be more clinical when we are in the Premiership next season. Right, Danny, jump on Ross's bandwagon, David, for goodness sake. T-shirt, he's got the t-shirts made up as well, Ross. He'll be your first in the queue for them for you. Right, okay, let's on to the big question then. Falkirk Daft rated, who is it going to go to? I think for me, I'm going to kick us off. Kaelin Adams, an assist and a goal. Constant, right? Could it be? I love to give it to Hendo on his 100th appearance. I thought it was a rock. I thought Luke Graham, again, unbelievable. Ethan Ross, up and down that park. Calvert, it could go. There's so many to choose from. I thought actually Dylan Tate and Brad were a bit quieter yesterday, but then you go back and say Brad had that amazing shot, controlled the park. So back Kaelin Adams, assisting the goal, it's got to go to him for me. Ross?
I could quite easily say 3 or 4 just as you mentioned, John, but I said it towards the end and before they announced it, but I'm going to go Liam Henderson. I thought he was...
Oh, Hendo's getting in. Junaid, you can give us a different name and we'll go to have a debate about it, or you can go with one of us.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with yourself, John. I thought Kaelin Adams, just the fact that he got the assist and the goal, you know, 2 and 2 from a right back is brilliant. There could have been, you know, 3 or 4 names that you could very easily give it to. But yeah, I think for me, Kaelin probably just takes it.
Right, Kaelin Adams get it. I love Hendo. You know how much I love the big man. And his 100th appearance, but we're going to have to give it to Kaelin just for his performance. So Hendo will pick up several more, I'm pretty sure of that. He's some boy, absolutely some boy. Right, okay then. Who's the Falkirk Dafty? I don't even know where to go with this one. Ross?
I've got one.
Yeah, go.
You ready?
Aye.
And there's a clue. It's in your picture that you've got in your background. It's big time. Chris McGill for putting us in navy fucking socks at home. It's not acceptable. We are the home team. We shouldn't change. I don't care if Airdrie have to wear some like pink socks or black socks with a strip. We are the home team. Oh, red socks, please. That's it. Chris McGill, big time.
Junaid?
There's no one in the Falkirk team that I think deserves it. So, I'm happy to go with Ross there.
Chris is coming. This is 2 weeks in a row. Chris has got Dafty, isn't it? In fact, is Chris going up to 3?
What did he get it for last week for?
Did he not get it for your Gok Gwan? Or no, we didn't give it to him last week, but he's 2 for... No, I've got my notes that he's 2 for the season now.
It is 2 for the season. I think you gave him it one time.
Big time's going to be raging. I've still got to, I've still got to try and ask him for something for this. I've got my charity auction now, so I'm actually all right.
Listen, we're Falkirk. We shouldn't change for anybody. Just, not happy.
Fuck's sake, right? Jesus. By the way, can we just talk about the holes in the back of the socks seem to get bigger and bigger to the point there's no need to be any point wearing socks?
I know.
Finn Yates has got like fucking. It's just a massive big hole. Like they're getting bigger and bigger, these holes in the socks.
It's like Gary Barlow's son's caught his fingernail in the sock.
It's just getting bigger and bigger. Anyway, so Chris, I'm so sorry, Chris. It's Ross that's done this to you again. So sorry, Chris. You're Drafty of the Week. Sorry. Right, okay then. That's all sorted out. I feel this is going to be a bit unfair, but it is time for Falkirk Daft versus our game show at the end of the podcast, where we put our pundits' Falkirk knowledge to the test. Junaid, you've only been following us for two seasons, so I feel like I've got a wee bit of advantage. This could be a potential. If you were to beat me, it'd be like Airdrie beating Falkirk yesterday here. So, right, okay, Ross is doing the questions this week. You're up against me. Five questions about the Bears, penalty shootout style. If it's a tie, then we've got a tiebreak question. Ross, have you got our questions?
I do. Do you have something to write your answers down, John?
Oh, no, hold on, no. I've got something really fancy. Talk amongst yourselves. I'll be back in a minute.
Right, okay.
I'm back. I've got I found a pad and a pen.
Excellent.
I've just realised it's got all my daughter's drawings in them, so dogs and stuff. So I'm going to have to write over that. It's full. But anyway, we'll go with that. I'm ready. Okay.
Right, so John, you're going to write your answer down, Junaid. You're going to shout yours out, but only once John's got something written down, okay? So, nice easy one to kick start us off. Who is the current 50-50 sponsor? So the 50-50 tickets that get sold at the stadium, who is the sponsor of that?
I've written something down.
You've written something down. So we'll come to Junaid. Junaid, what's your answer?
I have to pass, to be honest, on this one. I've never bought a 50-50 ticket, I'll be honest with you.
Well, you'll know for next time, John.
Behind the Wall, BTW.
It's one of our sponsors, Behind the Wall.
Excellent. So I'll plug for the sponsors as well.
Question number two. Which two current players helped launch this season's home kit in the summer? So if you remember back to the launch in a cinema, which two players helped launch the home kit this season? So John, you get something written down and then we'll come to Junaid.
I've written my answers.
Okay, Junaid, we'll come to you.
I can't quite remember the cinema one. I do remember them in the stadium.
The away kit, I think that one was, wasn't it?
Yeah. I'll say Tom Lang and Brad Spencer.
Okay. John, I'll come to you.
I know Col Donaldson was definitely one of them, right?
Right.
But I wasn't too sure of the other one. So okay. I've just written down Tom Lang because he's handsome, and you know Tom Lang is obviously just you're filming anything, why wouldn't you put Tom Lang in it?
That's very true. I'm going to give you a point each. You've not got it right, each of you. So Brad Spencer. So Junaid, you got that one, and it was Big Cole. So that was the captain and the vice captain.
Right. Okay. Okay. Right. Okay.
So it's 2-1 to Falkirk Daft currently. So question number three: who do we play in our next home game? Who do we play in our next home game?
Right, I've got my answer.
Okay, Junaid, come to you.
So Raith Rovers. I know this because I think I've got a friend that I work with that's a big Raith Rovers supporter. So yeah, I'm pretty sure.
That's what I've written down as well.
You've went Raith as well, so that you're both correct. Well done, well done. So that's that with 3-2 in scores. Okay, gets a little bit trickier now. Question number four.
What is this for me to win it as well?
No. It's only 3. No, because this is a question. Who did we play in last season's remembrance game? So this obviously was this remembrance game, was Airdrie, but who did we play in last year's remembrance game?
Oh no. No, because that was on. Yeah, I've got it.
Okay, Junaid, I'll come to you because John's written down.
That's a good question. Was it Montrose?
So you're saying Montrose?
I've written down Edinburgh City.
Edinburgh City was the correct answer. It was indeed Edinburgh City. Yes. So I don't 4-2, and I don't think you can be caught here. I will give you the last question anyway.
I told you I could win it.
And that's true. Question number 5. Liam Henderson made his 100th appearance yesterday. But what? And this was going to be our closest to. When is his birthday?
When is now, Liam Henderson's birthday?
Can I just say, and I'll pull myself up here. I forgot to do the questions today, Sinead, right? And I literally remembered about 5 minutes before you came on. So
I don't think his dad won't even know the answer to that, Ross.
Well, listen, it's our closest to. So, John, you get something written down.
3rd of June. Sorry, there we go. 3rd of June.
You said the 3rd of June. Sinead?
10th of October.
10th of October. So the correct answer was the 23rd of August. There we go. 23rd of August. So he's
right now, you do the maths quickly, Ross, and see what.
No, I'm going to give Junaid the point because he's closer. without even doing my quick math skills, Junaid's closer. So there we go.
Well done. There we go.
Listen, well done, John. Well done.
Still a win for the Falkirk Daft boys. Thank you. Junaid, thank you so much for joining us on Falkirk Daft this week. Really appreciate your time. If you want to be Falkirk Daft pundit, just like Junaid, please drop us a DM, slide into your DMs like a long lost lover, or drop us an email, pundit@falkirkdaft.co.uk.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall. Stay local. Eat and drink global.
Every week at Falkirk Daft, we look ahead to our next opponents, and it's a huge, huge game over at Amon Vale. I don't know what they're calling it these days. The Taxi Dome or something like that now.
Home of the Set Fair
Arena. I think there's a couple of good nicknames for it. But we're going to find out what those are all about and talk a bit about Livingston. It feels like just 5 minutes ago we spoke to him. It's Stuart Barry, the only Livingston supporter we know.
That's because you boys don't get out enough. It's the arena, and it'll be a taxi for Falkirk on the day.
Oh, here it is! There it is! Love it! Now, is it what they call it? I heard a couple of nicknames from it. Obviously, when it was the Tony Mac Arena, it was the what was
spaghetti hat?
The spaghetti hat. But I've heard a couple of nicknames. Have you heard anything, Stuart, that it's been nicknamed for the taxi?
Well, the club tried to get people to generate a similar nickname, but nobody could be bothered, because once you've heard of the home of the Set Fair Arena, there's no topping that, is there? You just don't get any sillier than that. But it pays the bills, so we love the home of the Set Fair Arena. Download the app for cheap taxis now.
Livingston, let's talk. I mean, the last time we talked, Stuart, we bigging them up. We didn't speak really. I mean, me and you exchanged a couple of texts post-match. Certainly, from my perspective, the most organised side that we've seen at the Falkirk Stadium. I thought Falkirk were, you know, unlucky not to get the win that night, obviously, with the so John McGuinn still talking about it, the goal that never was. But yeah, I was really impressed by Livingston. What did you make of Falkirk on that night?
Yeah, I thought Falkirk were just the same. We've been lucky enough to see Falkirk on the telly quite a bit, because, you know, the Friday night games have been kind to you guys, expecting you to get a drubbing, but turns out you have been good. So, you know, they keep putting you on the Friday nights and we keep seeing you. And those Falkirk are no surprise. They're good going forward. They're tidy at the back. They're fast. They've got plenty of energy. And there's a real, you can tell there's a feel-good factor and the confidence is really high. But, you know, at the same point, you've not faced many challenges yet, Celtic aside. And I think the game coming up just might be a bridge too far for the high-flying Falkirk.
Oh, that's fighting talk right there. I mean, Livingston, you know, you were coming up, bigging up their football the last time. And fair enough, it does seem that it has come on a bit. But it did seem that, you know, I thought Livingston, and I don't know what you thought, Ross, were very quite dangerous on the break the last time. And they are the biggest team in the division near the land of the Giants. Is it right that you were playing Nottingham at right back? Am I hearing that right, Stuart?
Well, Nottingham's been playing right back and doing a decent
job. Hell.
injuries in the Pep Guardiola scheme is players that then slide easily into midfield and Nottingham goes like in a central role. But what you might think about Nottingham, he's pacey, not the best at going forward, but that's not always the case. You don't need your right backs to be great wingers either, do you? You just need them to defend, and he defends. And interestingly, he's actually came up with a few goals recently as well because of his height advantage. And Davey's got us playing really, really well. And you talked about us being defensive there, but I think any game or any team that's going to go to Grangemouth to play you guys is going to be under the cosh. And we stood up to that challenge really well and offered a threat as well.
Yeah,
I don't think there was much of a threat on the night, Stuart. I think it was Levy came for a point and they got a point. So fair play to them for coming with a game plan because it definitely worked that night. I don't think we were as open as an expansive as we have been in other games. I'm expecting the same sort of game. I don't know if that will change because he's at home, but I think David Martindale will look at what worked that night and he might try and replicate it again this weekend, probably. I agree with John. I thought it was our toughest night, toughest game we've had so far, other than probably the Queen's Park game at the start of the season, because that was a tough night as well. We got the win, but it was still a tough night. I genuinely, I'm really confused by Livy in terms of, because obviously you've now started to ship a few more goals since we last talked. I think you'd only conceded four at that point, and I think you're up to 10 or 12 now. So the back door's opened ever so slightly, but I just don't see like wins and runs, like sort of a run of wins coming. Would that be fair?
Well, I think first and foremost, you'll have to ask John about the back door being open because I hear he's an expert there. But as for Livy, we've also got that. We shipped a lot of goals because Dunfermline horsed us 3-0 in our worst performance of the season. We were awful there. And we've conceded a few as teams have kind of upped their game for us. I think we were the big Premier League club that's came down, and I think Falkirk may be getting that attention now, so that's good that you guys are the ones to beat in the league, and that's fair enough. But we're still decent defensively, even though we've scored, we're not scoring as much as we wanted, we're not leaking that much really. And I think the difference between Falkirk and Livingston is the draws. I think we're on the same one defeat each, but we've managed to turn draws into draws, and you've managed to turn draws into wins. So that's the difference just now.
Yeah, I mean, in midfield, I do think, we talked about him the last time, Scott Pittman is probably one of the best midfielders in the league. He's an absolute machine in that Livingston. Tete Yenge, is he back for you, Stuart? He's a player that's really impressed me in last season. Is he back playing now?
Yes, he had a good performance yesterday, but clearly you've missed the undertone of Davy and Tete had a fight a couple of weeks.
Oh, did
they?
When you fans get a fight with Martindale out?
Well, that was one of the bits. Like, who do you separate here? Tete's 6 foot odds and Davy's agent. So it was quite one of the bits where Tete got subbed, had a go at Davy, Davy had a go back, and everybody just sat there open mouth for about 10 minutes. And then Tete was escorted up the tunnel and never played the next game. However, he's been back for two games and playing really well again. And apparently, I never seen it yesterday, but he played brilliantly, set up a goal, scored a goal, doing really well. So he could be our big threat.
Yeah, certainly a player that has impressed me. I'm very impressed by the left back as well. I messaged you after the match about him. Is it Matondo? Is it?
Yeah, it's Christian Montano.
Montano.
I think that was his last game.
Was it really?
Yeah, he's been injured. Christian's in his 30s. He came to us as a winger. And, of course, David Martindale's brilliant at saying, you might be a winger, but you're going to be central mid now. He plays left back and he's played centre-half for us this season.
Right.
And he's been decent because he gets forward quite a bit as well. And he's a miss because I think the last couple of seasons he's been like one of the most assists in the team and certainly weighed in with a good handful of goals, which is quite a hard feat in the Premier League. So I don't know when he's back, but he is a miss. But that said, Stevie May's firing all cylinders with his goal. And he just needs to kind of up his game, up the scoring a wee bit, because his game's excellent. And he's like, and him, he just runs all day. And you guys won't get a moment's peace, because that's what we do at Livingston. We run, we hassle, we harry, we rat out the ball. And we're good at that again.
Yeah, Stevie May was, like you say, just always there and thereabouts, being a bit of a pest when we played you at the stadium. Ross, what are you thinking for this weekend? What type of result do you think? It's a draw. Bearing in mind we're 6 points clear of Livingston, is a draw a really good result for Falkirk? Would you take a draw now?
I'd take a draw, but I think we're good enough for the win. I think how I think it'll go, I think similar to last season when we first played Accies, at home it was 0-0. It was quite a cagey, tight affair, similar to the Livy game a month ago. I think this one, similar pattern will happen this time, though. I think we will win by a couple of goals. I think that second time we played Accies, it was like 3-1. I can see us winning by a couple of goals this time. I don't think Livy will handle us going forward this time. We've got Callum Morrison back as well. Big Ross McKeever. These guys are difference makers coming off the bench. So even if it was 0-0 or 1-1, I think we've got enough quality there to change the game.
Actually, on that, with the type of game, and we know what Livingston and how big Livingston are, do you think tactically McKeever will play instead of Gary Oliver? Or do you think he'll rely on Gary Oliver, on, like we discussed earlier on, in that false nine, and then rely on Ethan Ross and Calvin Miller?
Could be. John obviously likes to stick to a winning team, and he's definitely got that now, so you never know. It could be the same again, and McKeever comes off the bench. Personally, I think he will stick to the winning team. I think Ross McKeever will get minutes. I think Cal Morrison will get on as well, but these guys are big difference makers that we didn't have available to us last time. I think these guys will help.
I'm assuming you wouldn't want to settle for a draw, Stuart. With the 6 point gap, you would be hoping for a Livingston win.
A draw's not the end of the world, that's for sure. Because it's a long season and Falkirk still to get injury suspensions and things like that.
No, we've had a few injuries. We've had a good few injuries.
Yeah, well, we've only had a couple, but we've got a really good squad. And I think we've got 16, 14 players at minimum now. And I think that makes me feel good about the season coming up, that we'll have a good, strong 11 in every game. A draw isn't the end of the world. A win is good. It's a 6 point now. But for me, I just make the point, it's the biggest game in Scotland on Saturday. It's one that should be on the telly. It's the international break, which, let's be honest, is a bit dull because, you know, we miss the football. So it's the biggest game. And it says something that I'm excited about it in the weeks before it, and I think it's going to be a big crowd. You know, whoever said that, a Falkirk Livy game, and I think a real buzz to it. And I think one of the things that we do well in as a team is when all the big teams come in and bring a big crowd, that gets our players going. Remember, we used to beat Rangers and Celtic regularly down the old plastic pitch, and I think that'll help us. If you can bring a big support, it'll cheer us on.
I think there'll be a couple of thousand come through, Stuart. I don't know if it'll be bigger than that, but I certainly think a couple of thousand will come through. I agree with you. I think it'll be a good game. I think it'll be a big game. Do you think, this isn't a loaded question at all, but see if Falkirk were to win, there's then a 9 point gap, right? And it's maybe too early to say it, but I just don't see us losing too many games this year. And do you think 9 points gap is too much even at this stage of the season?
It's a good point, and you rightly, I think if you've got 9 points, you can start feeling a bit confident and things like that. But
yeah,
the things I've been impressed with this league, it's tough. I mean, even like Airdrie and Dunfermline, who are the bottom feeders, they're struggling in this season. And Dunfermline beat us 3-0 the other week. Airdrie, despite having a terrible season, you know, they can still beat anyone in the league. So, as much as you've got off to a flyer, and it's important to get the points on the board, there's nobody can take them away. So that's a really good point for Falkirk. I think other teams will have a big influence. Even Morton, who's kind of struggled, I think they've only got 6 players now. I think I'm nearly going to get a game for Morton if they come through. But they can still beat anyone, you know. So that I think the competitive nature of the league will probably claw back, both back us, but more so Falkirk. As I said before, you're the team you beat, you're the big boys, you're high flying, you're the scalp, so that'll motivate a lot of teams.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the score will be. Ross, what are you thinking? You mentioned a couple of goals, what are you thinking?
I'm going to mirror the second game against Accies last year. I'm going to say Falkirk 3-1.
3-1, Stuart?
2-1 Livingston.
2-1 Livingston. I will end off by going 1-1 draw. I think it'll be a draw. Stop shaking your head, Ross. I think you're
sitting on the fence because your pal's on the podcast.
No, absolutely. Absolutely not. I think a draw is a decent result for us in Livingston. Though, like, if Livingston, I think they've got, like I said, I think they've got some good players in that team, but I think going there, they'll make it more difficult for us at their place. And I think, yeah, I think it'll probably will cancel each other out and it'll be 1-1. But we will wait and see. Stuart, we're going to hopefully see you for a beer before the match.
Definitely. Hopefully I'll find you in amongst the crowd of Falkirk fans. I hear you're coming in a supporters bus. Who knew there was a bus there, eh?
We've got plenty of buses coming on Saturday, but we'll be in amongst it. So I look forward to catching up with you for a wee beer, and I'll buy you a pie, because Stuart loves a pie. He does love a pie. So we'll get
wonderful pie. And one thing I would say to Falkirk fans as well, the Almondvale Suite's open for teams, both sets of fans. You can get in, you get a bite to eat, you get a pint. So I like that myself, sitting amongst the other team's fans, hearing about the players and stuff. So Falkirk fans, be good to see a few of them.
Well,
down
hopefully
there.
We'll be at the stadium in good time. We'll catch up there for a pint, Stuart. That'd be brilliant. Superb. Stuart Barry, Livingston's only supporter. Thanks once again for joining us on Falkirk Daft.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall and the Falkirk football fans in training.
Brilliant. Thanks, Stuart.
Good one. Are you going on Saturday, Ross?
Yeah, I'll be there as well, mate. So I think the all being well with traffic, maybe get there for about 2:10, which would be.
So we'll get up and get a quick pint with you, Stuart. I'll message you and let you know.
There is one. If you leave slightly earlier, and this will be funny, there is a lot of traffic down there as people go shopping and they go to the centre. the Christmas shopping rush will affect them. it'll be a wee bit busier, but still, I'll look out for you guys. And you know, if John, you're not with John, John will give you my number and I'll look out for you this week. I'll come round. You'll see me at the ground anyway, in my lonely role.
Hi, Stuart. Speak to you later, pal.
Cheers, guys. Good luck. Thanks for having us on.
Thanks, mate. Bye, bye. Right, okay, let's wrap a bone. Here we go.
I've got a player in mind.
Great, good. That's good. Fantastic, because your turn this week. That is it for this week's Falkirk Daft. Thank you very much for sticking by us. Thanks very much to Junaid, brilliant guest pundit this week, and also to Stuart coming on and letting us know a bit about Livingston. Looking forward to the match, Ross. There's a load of us going on the bus from behind the wall on Saturday.
Yes, there's 10 of us booked in, so that'll be good. I think it will be a big crowd heading through. A couple of thousand, maybe a bit more, you never know. As Stuart said, I think it is probably the biggest game in Scotland, especially in the national break. I just think with the extra players that we've got back, the momentum's with us. I sound like a broken record. They will draw more games than us this year, and that will be the difference between the two teams, in my opinion. I think we will continue. I'm not saying we'll win every game, because that's mental, but I think we will win more than we lose and draw, and I think they will draw more than us, and that will be the points difference.
It's interesting. See, I thought Partick Thistle, they all just dropped points. They've started motoring a wee bit of Thistle, but they dropped points from winning position yesterday. Ray Rovers are still, fuck knows what's going on over there, but it's a tough old run that we've got coming up. Obviously Queen's Park at Hampden, and then Wraith in the league, but we've got the cup game in between that as well, as well as Livingston. So it's a tough wee run, but if you get through this tough run and you're, you know, you then start believing, I think.
Well, we're 12 points out of 12 so far for quarter two, which is fantastic. Yeah. And obviously John McGlynn talks about 20 points, doesn't he, per quarter. Yeah. So, and we've still got another 4-5 games of the quarter left to go. So loads of opportunity.
Absolutely. Thanks very much for watching. Remember, Christmas is coming up, like we said, so get your Falkirk Daft merch. We're going to have Black Friday deals coming up as well. So if you've got a loved one in your life and you want to get them some Falkirk Daft merch, do that. Merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. And also get pints and prints. You can get the Falkirk 316 t-shirt and ode to the wrestling, and also you can get Ross's Falkirk Daft tea one as well, with the red tea as well. That's at Pints and Prints, so go to Gordon. And we've got some excellent some potential new t-shirts coming as well. So looking forward to getting that on the go as well. But yeah, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk if you want to get your loved one something for the Christmas. Remember, subscribe and like the YouTube channel. We're going to stick our vlog up from Livy next week as well. So that should be a bit of a laugh for us as we replicate the likes of Blair McNally and Sam North and all that lot. And
we need to do that thing with the camera as well, don't we?
Like, yep, slam the camera up. Yeah, like that. We'll do that. So that'll be a good laugh next week. So look out for that on the YouTube channel by subscribing and get us, if you want to just listen to these rather than seeing our faces, this is probably a better option for you. Get subscribe to us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Now, lots of people like to test the Falkirk Daft listeners every week by giving you a random Falkirk player to make sure and prove that you've got to the end of the episode. So congratulations, everyone, in the Brent Raheem Roll of Honour. Raybo, Stephen Gibson, Craig Young, William Anderson, Philip Linus, Derek Carswell, Pam McGill, Chris Campbell, Joe Hine, Brian Rose, Gary Wilson, Dougie Mason, Jamie Douglas, Inge, Homer's Twin, Del Byrne, James Duffy, Lee Smith, Jolly Boy John, Paul Fuller, and Kevin Lees, and Ian Waitman all joined the Brent Raheem Roll of Honour. Who is the Roll of Honour being named after this week, Ross?
So just before I say the name, shout out to you mentioned a Louise Smith there. She came over before the game yesterday and said hi. So we had a bit of a blather and she loves the podcast. However, the name this week, if everyone's ready, is Mr. Gerhard Fellner.
Gerhard. Love Gerhard Fellner. What the absolute look like a porn star. I think I do this random thing, Ross, right, where I go, I think I might be LinkedIn connected with Gerhard Fellner. I'm sure I looked him up at LinkedIn. I'm certainly connected to Ivo Den Beeman, who I believe was in hospitality the other week.
He was in hospitality. he was in hospitality at the moment. Yeah.
I think if it's true, Gerhard Fellner, I'm sure, because he's like a big coach at a big team as well. They were playing Rangers or Celtic. I remember this.
Was it not one of the Austrian teams? It was like Salzburg.
Gerhard was like one of the
cool. How long? So that was it. That would have been 1996, 1997. That 96, season, 97. Wasn't it? Mate, 96. How that's bananas. That must have been about 30. No, 20. It's not 30 years yet, is it? No, not quite. But the 30th anniversary of that sort of cup final team. That's a few years away, isn't it? Jesus.
I know, that's amazing. Amazing, but I know, better Gerhard Fellner, what a player. Not really, he did, I think he only scored like one goal or two, but just cult hero, that he big did. Curly that hair of his. Yeah, he came off the bench in the cup final as well.
He did. And he had a haircut for the cup final, do you remember? Because he looked completely different. He had a wee cup final trim, so he didn't have quite a bigger barnet. But I think Lewis Connolly met him a few years ago on a Scotland trip, when Scotland were playing Austria or
the. But Lewis has got this whole quest of getting his 97 top signed, didn't he?
Yeah, so he must have. I'm sure he took it to get it signed. So, amazing.
Amazing. Well, there you go. Gerhard Fellner. Join the Gerhard Fellner Roll of Honour next week by just messaging the words Gerhard Fellner and people on your timeline going, what the fuck is going on here? But there you go. Brilliant. Thank you very much for listening to Falkirk Daft. We'll see you at Livingston next week with a massive game. Big 6-pointer. Imagine if we go 9 points clear at the top next week.
It's done.
Shut up, Ross. Shut up. Right, but 9 points clear would make me very happy. So we'll hopefully see you in behind the wall. We'll hopefully see you at the match next week. Thanks for us at Falkirk Daft. And until next time.
Expect them, expect it, buddy.
We're Falkirk Daft. Talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're Falkirk Daft. You can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. We're Falkirk Daft. For everyone who's kidding about being a Falkirk bear, We're Falkirk Daft.